Good morning, everyone, and welcome to our shiur. I apologize, the sheets will be here literally momentarily. There were a lot of marmakoma, so I think it took a little bit longer to make this morning. But what I would like to speak about today is a topic which is based on Parshas Noach, which is, has been relevant for quite some time. It's been an issue that's been public debate for the past who knows how many years, has focused around the one of the issues that has been central to public debate has been the issue of abortion. It remains today that way. Obviously, they have the landmark Supreme Court ruling that was about 40 years ago. But nevertheless, it still remains an issue, and it's important to know what the Torah perspective on this is. Obviously, if one were to ask, is abortion permitted or not according to the Torah, so you'll say no. The question is, why not? And is that always true? So that's what I would like to discuss today. We have here on the sheet that the Torah says after the Mabul, some of the mitzvahs b'nei Noach are mentioned. Actually, the mitzvahs b'nei Noach were given already before Noach's time. But nevertheless, they're mentioned in the parsha, and one of them is the pasuk says, "Shofech dam ha'adam, ba'adam damo yishofech." Okay, now this is a tricky pasuk to translate, but there's a comma. There should be a comma. Not that we have commas in the chumashim, but the word "shofech dam ha'adam" means one who spills the blood of a man. So, ba'adam damo yishofech. The correct pshat in the pasuk, as Rashi interprets it, is that through man, his own blood will be spilled, meaning that a person who commits murder is chayev misa. Okay, and this is true even by goyim, and this is misa's bezdin. In other words, there are some sins punishable by death which are punishable through kares or misa b'dei, other form misa b'dei shamayim. But here, the pasuk is saying that this is adam damo yishafech, that he will be killed through an adam, that he will be that he should be killed by a bezdin. Okay, that is the way we interpret the pasuk, and that is the correct way to lay the pasuk. Shofech dam ha'adam kama, ba'adam damo yishafech. However, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, it's right underneath, the Gemara tells us on Dafnun Zayin, on Dafnun Dao, that is, the Gemara says, I'm sorry, it is Nun Zayin, Shofech dam ha'adam, Yishum Rabbi Shmuel Amru, the Gemara says that it was said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that a ben Noach ne'rag af al ha'ubrin, that a ben Noach is killed even for killing an uber. Okay, now the word uber today has taken on a different meaning, but in the Gemara's terminology, an uber refers is a fetus. Okay, so ben Noach ne'rag af al ha'ubrin, that the ben Noach is killed even for killing a fetus. My time at the Rebbe Shmuel, what is the reason for this? Says the Gemara d'ksiv, because it says in the pasuk shofech dam ha'adam, but Adam Damo Yishafech. So the Gemara is going to read these, is interpreting these words differently. That Shofech Dam HaAdam BeAdam. That not that there's a comma after the first word HaAdam, but rather that the way the phrase is to be read is Shofech Dam HaAdam BeAdam. That someone who spills the blood of a person that is in a person. How do you spill the blood of a person that's in a person? Says the Gemara, Ezeu Adam Shehu Ba'adam. How do you have a scenario like that? Says the Gemara, Havei Omer Ezeu Ubor Shebimeimo. That this refers to a fetus in its mother's womb. In other words, Shofech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam. That one who kills, spills the blood of a person who's in a person. How does that happen? That is by killing a fetus. Yes. What's that? Well, the Torah, listen, the Torah, there are a lot of psukim that we don't know 100% exactly, you know, the way the phrase was written, but the Torah was written in this manner. The Chazal had a Masorah. They didn't make this up. The Chazal had a Kabbalah, that this is the Pshat. That this is the Pshat in the Pasuk. Okay, in other words, this is clearly an interpretation of a Pasuk that's through the means of Drush. In other words, the literal meaning of the Pasuk is not this way, not at all. Right? Not at all. That if a person, Shofech Dam Ha'adam, we say, means that a person who kills, Ba'adam Dam Yishofech. But the Chazal employing the means of Drush, which is Misinai, this Torah Misinai. They said that the pasuk can be interpreted this way as well, and thus we have the idea that a ben Noach, in other words, we're not talking here about Jews. This is a mitzvah, one of the seven mitzvahs b'nei Noach. Right? The prohibition of murder is one of the seven Noahide laws. Okay, and here it says that they were told that ba'adam damo yishafek, that if a person is kills a fetus, so he is liable for misa, and therefore it was said in the name of Rabbi Shmuel that a ben Noach would be killed even for this. Okay, that is the halacha as it applies to Goy. Now, we don't find any explicit mention in the psukim subsequent to that of what would be by a Jew. Right? In other words, is that the same halacha by Jews? This pasuk was said to Bnei Noach. Now, the Torah came and the Torah was given to Klal Yisrael, and therefore the Torah is what we go by, the 613 mitzvahs. So the question is, how does this stand by us? Does this play out by us in such a manner that it's also that way or not? So we find the Gemara says the following. The Gemara in Maseches Sanhedrin discusses, very interesting Gemara there, which is discussing mitzvahs that were given to the Goyim, and that they were some which were repeated at Har Sinai, others that weren't. Now there's a mitzvah from Bnei Noach, how they apply to Klal Yisrael. So, without getting into the details of that specific point, if you look here in this quotation of the Gemara, so it says the following. The Gemara says, on the fourth line, the Gemara says, Leka midam duli Yisrael shari lovi kachavim asr. So the Gemara says the following principle. And that principle is that there is nothing in the world that has been prohibited to the Goyim and permitted to the Jews. There is no such thing. In other words, by the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach, so even though you may not find exactly this point repeated after the Matan Torah, after the Torah was given, we don't find this issue discussed. But the Gemara says as a general concept, since presumably the explanation is, because since Klal Yisrael plays to a higher code, a higher standard, right? The Torah uplifted Klal Yisrael, and therefore we have to go even higher. So therefore it comes out that the Gemara assumes as a Dover Pashut, that this is plainly evident, that there is nothing that was permitted to Goyim, there was nothing that was prohibited to Goyim that is permitted to Jews. And therefore, even if we don't find that the Pasuk specifically says a certain thing is prohibited to Jews, but if the Pasuk says that it's prohibited to Goyim, so it stands to reason, the Gemara says this definitively, Lekha Midam, no such thing, doesn't exist such a thing that for Goyim it's Asr and for Jews that it's Mutter. So the Gemara proceeds to ask questions, the Gemara challenges this right away, the Gemara says, well, what about the law of Yafas Toar, that we find that there's a special permission that's given the beginning of Parshas Kisetze for a captive of war? And the Gemara answers that question. The Gemara goes through a couple of scenarios and defends this position by saying that there is no such thing, that if it's prohibited to the Goyim, it's clearly prohibited to the Jews as well. So Tosus on the side of the page gets into a little bit further, deeper discussion on this point. And Tosus says, 1 minute, we can't say that that's totally true, because, for example, we know that there is a prohibition of Goyim to observe Shabbos. Right? Enoch Risha Shavas is Chaybi, a Goy is not allowed to keep Shabbos. And yet, we have a Chiv to keep Shabbos. Right? So that means that the laws of that here you have a situation where you have, says Tosus, in other words, even for a guy to observe Shabbos is prohibited. Yet we have to observe Shabbos. So, technically speaking, that's an example of something where it is prohibited to non-Jews and permitted to Jews. Right? Because the observance of Shabbos, even though the observance of Shabbos involves prohibitions, but nevertheless, a guy is not allowed to do that. So therefore, you see that there is a scenario that something was, the Goyim were prohibited, the Goyim were banned, and Jews were permitted. How is that possible? Says Tosfos that this can be resolved by saying that that this rule does not apply to something which is a mitzvah. If it's a mitzvah, so then that's something else. That's an exception. But other than that, other than the observance of a mitzvah, when it comes to an activity that is prohibited, if it's prohibited to non-Jews, even if the Torah does not mention specifically, it's prohibited to Jews as well. So then Tosfos proceeds to say, Miu Kosha. Tosfos says, about halfway through, he says, however, Damrinim Beperek Ben Sarah Mora, Yotze Rosho Ein Nogimbo, De Ein Dochen Nefesh Mipnei Nefesh. Okay, so Tosfos refers us to a Mishnah, which is cited by the Gemara later on in Sanhedrin. So let's just call time out from this Tosfos briefly, and look at the very bottom of the page at the Mishnah that is the source of this discussion. Okay, there's a Mishnah, Meseches Olos, which says the following. The Mishnah says, Ha'isha Shehi Mekasha Lele. Okay, it says that if there is a woman who is giving birth and she's having difficulty giving birth, she's in active labor, an active delivery, and her life is in danger at the moment because of this birth. In other words, something is happening, there's some complication that is jeopardizing her life. So the question is, what are you going to do? The way to solve this problem would be to abort the child. In other words, to kill the child would be the way, that's given in the case. In other words, let's assume that's the scenario. That she's having difficulties, a complication in childbirth, and if the child is killed, then the mother will live. So the Mishnah says that mechadchines hayelad b'meyeha, that in fact you have the permission to go ahead and do so. That you have the permission to go ahead and even the Mishnah uses a graphic term, but the point is even to cut up the child, meaning even to terminate the existence of this child, right, in order to save the mother's life. Umotzien also evarim evarim, and you're allowed to do this and remove the child limb by limb, and therefore that would avoid the complication of this birth. Why? Says the Mishnah, B'nei Shechayeha Kol Min L'Chayav, because of the fact that her life precedes the baby's life. Why that is, we'll soon see. But that's what the Mishnah says. That's case number one. In other words, that in the labor process, it has been deemed that the woman is in jeopardy, that her life is in jeopardy due to the complication. So the Mishnah says you're allowed to kill the child because her life comes first. Then the Mishnah continues and says, Yatzarubo, however, if the child has already come out, majority of the child, the Gemara goes into specifics what exactly constitutes Yatzarubo, but it's not so relevant for us. But if the child has already, a significant part of the child has already come out, says the Mishnah, then ain't Noginbo. Then you're not allowed to do anything. Why? She'ein dochen nefesh b'pnei nefesh. Because of the fact that you can't push aside one life for another life. In other words, if the child is already coming out, so then presumably it seems what the Mishnah is saying is that at this point the child is considered a nefesh. That the child is considered, is already, the rove of the child, the majority of the child already out. So therefore the child is considered an entity in itself, a life in itself. And we have a rule when it comes to ritzicha, when it comes to the laws that involve murder and so forth, that as a general rule, ain't docha nefesh b'nei nefesh. You can't say one person's life is worth more than the other person's life. No matter, it makes no difference who it is. And therefore, the halacha would be, in that case, that you can't do anything. Okay, so therefore, to summarize the Mishnah, it comes out that there are two scenarios. Scenario number one, in retrospect, would be where the baby has not come out, or where at least the majority of the baby has not come out. In such a case, the halacha is that you're allowed to go ahead and kill the child. However, if the child has already come out, majority, so then the halacha is that you have to let it go, even if it means that the mother will die. Even if it means that the mother will die in the delivery, it doesn't matter. Because at this point, it ain't dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. You cannot push off one life for another life. So says the Mishnah. Now, with that in mind, so getting back to the Tosfos over here, Tosfos asks the following question. Now we're going back. So Tosfos says that the Gemara later on in Sanhedrin quotes this Mishnah, we'll see in a minute. And it says, Yotzer Rosho ain't Nogimbo, they ain't Nochem Nefesh Me Nefesh. Aval Kodem She Yotzer Rosho, but before the majority of the of the child has come out, right? So then the halacha is that achaya poshet is yodev echad chalei varim, that the birthing nurse or the doctor, whoever it is, can go ahead and kill the child. Umotziyan, to remove this child, kidei lahatzel asimo. So says Tosfos, that now, that halacha, that Mishnah is talking about Jews. Now, what would be by goyim in such a case? Well, since we saw a moment ago that the Gemara in Sanhedrin said that b'nei Noach are mitzuvin al ha'ubrin, that there is a specific shofech dam ha'adam ba'adam, that goyim have a specific commandment that they have to respect even an uber, in other words, even a fetus. Here in the Mishnah, in Olos, it seems that when it's the status of a fetus, then you could kill the child. It's only when the child is already coming out that then it takes on an identity of its own. It's considered alive, and then you can't be ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. But prior to that, you'd be allowed. However, the Gemara that we saw earlier in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, the quote that they had, the memory that they had in the name of Rabbi Shmuel, indicates that even that a guy wouldn't be allowed to do. Because Ovde Kochavim are Metsuvin al Ha'obrin. An Ovde Kochavim, a guy, is commanded that even for a fetus, you can't do anything. So Tulsus's question is that thus we have come across a case where you have something that is prohibited to goyim and permitted to Jews. And yet, the Gemara in here in Sanhedrin claims as an absolute fact that there's no such case that exists that something is prohibited to goyim and permitted to Jews. Doesn't exist such a thing. So Tosfos Kashis, how could you say that? How could you say that? Here you have a perfect example. Here you have a perfect example, because since Ovdei Kochavim are mitzuvin al ha'ubrin, since non-Jews are prohibited from even a fetus, from even doing anything to a fetus, so it's very clear, they can't do it even when the mother, even earlier in the pregnancy, if the child was jeopardizing, not only when the baby is being born right now, but presumably that would be true even earlier. In other words, they have to respect an ubar as an entity, right? But a Jew doesn't have to. So this would contradict the ruling that the Gemara gave that there is nothing in there is no halacha that is prohibited to goyim that's permitted to Jews. How could that be? So Tosfos here answers and says, "V'yesh lomar the honami b'Yisrael mitzvah kidei lahatzel." So Tosfos says that this is not a total contradiction to the rule, because as we said a moment ago, as we said when it came to Shabbos, the discussion about Shabbos. So something which is deemed to be a mitzvah is beyond the rule. It's beyond the rule. So therefore, when it comes to saving the mother's life, if the baby is if the fetus is jeopardizing the mother's life, that's a mitzvah. That's a mitzvah of hatzolah. So since it's a mitzvah, so therefore it's permitted to Jews because it's a mitzvah to go ahead. That's one of the tariag mitzvahs, to go ahead and save a person who's in danger. Okay, that's something that's a mitzvah in the Torah. So therefore, that type of thing, by such a thing, the rule doesn't apply. So therefore, this does not contradict the overall generalization that nothing is prohibited to goyim and permitted to Jews. There is no such thing, right? And the fact that a goy can't do what we will call an abortion, even before the child begins to come out, and a Jew can, assuming that there is a presumption here is that assuming that the child presents a danger, assuming that the fetus presents a danger to the mother's life, so that you'd be allowed to abort the fetus. You'd be allowed to abort the fetus. The only time that you can't, the Mishnah in Olos that we read, says that the only time you can't do that is when the child is coming out. If the child's already coming out, then it's different. But prior to that, you're allowed. Now, a non-Jew, apparently, according to Tosfos, at least at this point in Tosfos, would not be allowed to do that. Okay, so therefore it would come out that in fact the halacha of abortion is stricter by non-Jews than it is by Jews, in the sense that if the fetus was jeopardizing the life of the mother, we're not talking about an abortion that people do because they have some other, you know, financial reasons or whatever, other concern, they're not interested in having a child. We're not talking about that. We're talking here in an extreme situation where the fetus is jeopardizing the mother's life, where the doctor says that the mother will die, or there's a decent chance that the mother will die if this pregnancy continues. So it seems from Tosfos at this point that by a Jew it's clear that that would be permitted to abort the child. That you see from the Mishnah in Olos, right? And by a Goy would be prohibited. That's what Tosfos says right now. And then Tosfos goes at the end and says that the Efshir that feel Bavik Chavim Shari. Then he says a second possibility that it could be that really this would be mutter even by a Goy. There's a question whether the law of Pikuach Nefesh pushing off other things applies to a guy as well. So this is a discussion actually in the Gemara, and Tosfos is saying that it could be it's mutter. So that would if it would be mutter, there certainly would be no question. But anyway, that's the way it ends up. So therefore, comes out that we have an interesting thing that we find here a halacha that you have the prohibition of Uber, the prohibition of aborting a child is actually stricter in this sense. It's stricter by a non-Jew than it is by a Jew. You know, it's interesting that a person might think the natural inclination, again, not that we'll see that, you know, abortion is not something that a person could do, but, you know, sometimes a person might have the thought that, okay, so I'll get a non-Jewish doctor. I'll get a non-Jewish doctor to do it. It's worse if you get a non-Jewish doctor to do it, because of the fact that by a guy, there's no, at least according to what we're saying now, there's no heter at all. Right, by a Jew, there could be in certain situations there's a heter, but not by a guy. Okay, we'll have to see. But anyway, so that's what comes out from Tosfos. Now, it seems that from Tosfos's teretz, one could derive though something that pertains directly to our conversation, which is it prohibited at all? Is it prohibited at all to abort a fetus? Can a person come and say, where does it say in the Torah that you can, the Torah says you can't murder. Okay, you can't murder a person. Where does it say you can't terminate a pregnancy? Where does it say that? And which pasuk does it say that? The only pasuk is by Goyim, right? So, but where is the pasuk by Jews? So you see clearly here in the Gemara that the Gemara is saying you don't need a pasuk. Because if it's prohibited to Goyim, there is no such thing that would be prohibited to a Goyim, permitted to a Jew. And Elamai, it happens to be that there is a scenario where it would be permitted to a Jew, namely if it was jeopardizing the mother's life. So then there's a special exemption because of the fact that there is a mitzvah of Hatzolah. But barring that, if a woman said, oh, this is an unwanted pregnancy, I'm not interested, it doesn't fit my lifestyle, I want to terminate the pregnancy. So it's clear from this Tosfos that there's no question that that would be usur. And it would be usur because that's the point of the Gemara. The Gemara says you don't need a pasuk for such things. You don't need a pasuk because if it was prohibited to Goyim, it's certainly prohibited to Jews. Because we play to a higher standard. Except for the fact that there could be certain specific scenarios where the din might be different, but generally speaking, it would be also that's what comes out from this Tosfos. Okay, now another difference that would be between Goyim and Jews, which I don't have the Maram Malkum here on the sheet, but it's clear from several places in the Torah. I don't want to go into it. Is that even though we're saying that it is prohibited according to the Torah, to go ahead and abort a pregnancy, but such a thing, there would certainly be no Mises Besdin given. If a person did that, there would not be Mises Besdin. Okay, by a guy there would be. That's the pasuk, Shofech Dam Ha'adam Ba'adam Damo Yishofech, right? That's exactly what the Gemara originally was saying. But so there are certain nuances that are different when it applies to a Jew. However, the overall Isser is clearly applicable to a Jew as well. So that's what emerges from this Tosfos. Now, the big question that comes up is, okay, so we see from this Gemara that it's Usser. But the question is, what is the Isser? What is it? On what grounds is it Usser? Right? Now, in other words, now it's... So everybody will say immediately, the gut reaction, if you would stop, take a poll in the street and say, well, why should abortion be other? Say, well, it's murder. So the question is that true? Is that true? The fact of the matter is that from this Mishnah in Olos, it sounds like the simple reading of the Mishnah sounds like it's not true. Because the Mishnah says that before the child comes out, you're allowed to kill the child. It's only the only time that you're not allowed to kill the child is when it's coming out. And the reason given for that is because ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. The Mishnah says that the reason why there's a distinction between before the child comes and after the child comes is because after the child comes out, so it's a nefesh. Ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. which would imply that prior to that, it's not a nefesh. Now, obviously, right? That would be the simple understanding. So if that's true, so then it comes out that's not ritzicha. It's not murder. In other words, the conventional wisdom, what anybody in the street would say, and you go into any shul, and between the aliyahs, you're not supposed to talk then either, but you take a quick lightning poll, quick! Okay, you had yesterday in the parasha, abortion is usher, we learned that from parasha's Noach. Why is it usher? Everybody says it's murder, right? So apparently it's not. So it would seem. Now why then is it usher? So that we have to see. But let's just back this up a little bit with a quote from Rashi, but first we have to see the Gemara in Sanhedrin that is listed, the third on this page, which says like this. The Gemara has a whole question whether we know in the Torah there's a din, we've spoken about this in the past, there's a law in the Torah of Rodef, one of the exceptions. Generally speaking, we say, Ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, as the Mishnah said. Generally speaking, one life does not supersede another life. Okay, and therefore, if there's a question of this person's going to live, this person's going to die, there's no such thing that you say, even if it's the greatest scholar in Israel, and you'll save his life by killing somebody else, you're not allowed to do that. Ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. That's the general rule. Okay, however, there are limited exceptions to this. And probably the basic exception to this is the law of Rodef. The law of Rodef is the law of the pursuer. The Torah tells us that if Reuven is chasing after Shimon to kill him, if Reuven, you see that he's intending to kill, so the halacha is that nitin latzilo b'nafsho, that you're allowed to go ahead, if you're even, not only is Shimon allowed in self-defense to kill Reuven, but even an observer can, if he's carrying a gun, can take out the gun and shoot Reuven. Now the halacha is that you're not supposed to do that as a first choice. If it's yochel ahatzel be'echad me'evarim, right? If you could wound the person and thereby what they call today neutralize, right? The attacker. So that would be the first choice. You're not allowed to kill it because human life is considered precious. You're not allowed to just kill even in such a scenario. However, if there's no brera, so then now if there's no choice, halacha is you can go ahead and kill. Right? How this applies in the situation in Eretz Yisrael we spoke about last year, and I don't want to get into it. It could be it's different. That this is a hot issue right now, and I'm not getting involved with that. whether every Arab is considered an automatic rodef and so forth. This is a shaila. We all have very strong emotional feelings. They may be right. They may be right, but it's not so simple. A cool headed. Expert Rav needs to be consulted on such a question. What exactly is the first choice? What is the second choice? And so forth. But I'm not taking sides. I'm just saying it might not be as simple as we think. It could be it is. This is a big debate right now. I'm just mentioning it. But the fact is that when it comes, here we have the basic law of Rodef. Okay, the basic law of Rodef. So the Gemara has a question, Sanhedrin, on Daf Ayin Tes. The Gemara has a question, does the law of Rodef, on Daf Ayin Beis, that is, does the law of Rodef apply even if it's a child Rodef? In other words, let's say you have a 6-year-old kid, the father has a gun, and the father went to work, and he left the gun lying around. So the kid is curious. He picks up the gun, and he's walking in the street. He says, let's see how this works. And he's walking into a crowd of people, and he's going to take a shot. So the question is, are you allowed to kill this child or not? What's the question? So the question, the Gemara explains, the question is, because of the fact that, generally speaking, you can't do any of these things without hasra. You have to give a warning to the person in order for any sort of punishment to be administered. The person has to have been warned first, and a child lacks maturity, so it could be that the warning that you're going to give him doesn't really count because of the fact that it doesn't register. This is the question in the Gemara. So, the Gemara says, we can prove this, right? So the Gemara says that the halacha is that, in fact, katan harodef niten latzilo benafsho, that you're allowed to kill even a child, kasava rodef eno tzarech hasra, loshna gadol, loshna katan. So the Gemara says the reason for this is because apparently when it comes to rodef is an exemption. Rodef is an exemption to the general prohibition against murder in the first place. And along with that, it does not either demand that there be a warning given. You can just do it. No questions asked. And thus, you can kill a child, even though the child is not mature enough to interpret the warning. Doesn't matter. So the Gemara challenges this and says, one second. The Gemara says, Eitzver, if Chisla Rav Huna, Yotzer Rosho, Einogin Bo, Lefishen Dochen Nefesh, Mipnei Nefesh. Says, asks the Gemara, one second, but in the Mishnah in Olos that we read, it says that if a woman is in labor and the birth of the child is jeopardizing her life, once the child has come out, you're not allowed to touch the child. Even if the doctor says the mother is definitely going to die. If they let the child be born, if the birthing continues, the mother is going to die. The Mishnah that we learned says you're not allowed to do anything. You have to let it go. Why? Because ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh. So the Gemara says, one second, but why don't we say that the rule of ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, that one life doesn't trump another, doesn't apply in a situation of a rodev? So let us call this child a rodev. The child that's being born is a rodev on the mother's life. Now, even though obviously, in other words, we're not dealing here with a malicious, our image of a rodef that we have is a rodef, is a malicious person that's coming with a gun and, you know, hot-headed, ready to kill and so forth. But you see here and you see in other places as well that that's not necessarily true. That anything, anyone, and even a non-person halachically can be considered a rodef. The Gemara in Bava Kamma tells us, the Gemara says a case where people got on a boat, and the boat was a ferry taking them from point A to point B, and everybody came with their belongings. So they came with different items. In the old days, when you traveled even with your animals. So a person gets on his boat with his donkey, with his ox, whatever it is. So the Gemara discusses a case that the boat got out into the water, and now it started to sink because there was too much weight. So the Gemara mentions a story that actually happened, that one person went ahead, the last fellow who got on the boat came on with his donkey. So Reuven went ahead and pushed the donkey overboard, and the donkey drowned, and then the boat stopped sinking, because the weight of the donkey apparently was what made the difference. So the Gemara there concludes that no compensation needs to be made. In other words, the person whose donkey it was does not need to be compensated, even though he just lost a significant amount of money, because of the fact that the donkey is considered a rodef. Because the donkey, you say, what do you mean, this donkey is a murderer? The law of rodef does not require malicious intent. It just means that whoever you are, or whatever you are, creates a problem to the existence of people's lives. The halacha is that you're allowed to kill it. You're allowed to kill it. So the Gemara says, so one minute, if you're telling me that there's a law of rodef applicable even to a child, so then when this baby started to come out, the doctor should be allowed to kill the baby. That's the Gemara's question. To which the Gemara says an incredible answer. The Gemara says the answer to this question is, Shani Hosam Dimishmaya Karadfila. The Gemara says, you know what the pshat is? The pshat is that it's different. This child is not the rodef. God is the rodef. Mishmaya karatfila. The child is being born. So since the child, presumably it sounds like the simple explanation of the Gemara, is that since the child, this is part of life, right? Having children is a normal part of life. So therefore, we cannot consider this child to be the rodef on the mother, but rather shamayim. Right? God is the rodef, not the child, and therefore the child has to be allowed to live. Okay, now, you will say, anybody who read this Gemara, right now, you will say to you, if you're thinking through it, you'll say, one second. So if that's true, so then why earlier are you allowed to kill the child? In other words, you're telling me that in childbirth, there's no law of rodef. Why not? Because since childbirth is a normal part of life, so therefore, listen, this is part of the world. So sometimes things go wrong in life, but that's not anybody's fault. That's min hashamayim. So therefore, the fact that this child is jeopardizing the mother's life, mishmaya karatfilo, that's what the Gemara says. So you'll say, well, if that's the case, so then even before the child started to come out, right? Why does the Mishnah say, the first case in the Mishnah says, that if before the child comes out, the doctor says that this fetus is jeopardizing the mother's life, that law, because you're allowed to kill the fetus. Why should that be? So you'll say, well, the Rodef, there's no law of Rodef here. So this is a question that everybody, the Rishonim had to deal with. So Rashi on the Gemara says, not going to read it, it's on the page. Rashi on the Gemara says what we had mentioned earlier, the simple pshat would be because it's not considered, that it has nothing to do with Rodef because of the fact that earlier in the, before the child begins to come out, it's not considered an entity. It's not considered a person. So therefore, the halacha is that given the fact that the mother is a person and the fetus or the child that has not yet begun to come out is not, so therefore it's pashit that the law of ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh doesn't apply because you only have one nefesh. In other words, you only have the mother. You don't have anything else. When the child comes out, so at that point, once the child emerges, begins to emerge into the world, at that point, the child takes on the status of a nefesh. But prior to that, the child does not take on the status of a nefesh. So therefore, Rashi says that's the explanation. In other words, before the child comes out, you're allowed to kill it. Why? Because for the pikuach nefesh of the mother, to save the mother's life, you're allowed to kill the child. You'll say, what do you mean? But ain't dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, you can't push off one life for another life. The answer is, there's only one life. The child's not a life. But once the child comes out, starts to come out, then the child is alive. That's the way Rashi reads the Gemara, and that's probably the simplest pshat in the Gemara. Now, if that is the case, so the question presents itself, so now let's go back to the other Gemara. So that means that Rashi, in fact, has just taught, Rashi's not the only one that says this, others say this too, that I believe in the Tosa Rush, says this as well, that this idea that prior to the birth, it's not considered a nefesh. So now, if we return to the earlier Gemara that said that there is nothing that is prohibited to a Jew, prohibited to a guy, that's permitted to a Jew, and Tosfos said that that really, theoretically, should apply even to this law of Ubar, should apply even to the law of terminating a pregnancy. So now we just discovered, according to Rashi, that terminating a pregnancy is not Ritzicha. It's not Ritzicha, it's not a Nefesh. If it's not a nefesh, the law of murder is not invoked. In other words, you have to categorize halacha, right? There are laws of ritzicha, hilchus ritzicha. So Rashi just told us that when it comes to a fetus, or when it comes to a child that has not, even in a woman in labor, but the child has not yet come out, it's not considered a nefesh. And therefore the law of ritzicha doesn't apply. So if it doesn't apply, why then would it be prohibited to perform an abortion? Right? Assuming the child hasn't come out yet, it's not, you just told me it's not Ritzicha. Yet the Gemara said earlier that there's nothing that we know Goyim can't do abortions, that's learned from the Pasuk in Parshas Noach. Right? Goyim can't do abortions, and if a Goy can't do an abortion, a Jew can't do an abortion. But why should that be? So this is a very big discussion in the Poskim. So we have in the Tshuvas Marit, one of the early Achronim, the Gedolei Achronim, Rabbi Yosef Trani from the Sfaradische Gedolim said the following thing. He wanted to say, it's not on the sheet, but he wanted to make an application of something, of a halacha, a different series of halachas that we have. And those are the laws of chavola. There is a law, a halacha, that you're not allowed to wound a person, even if it will not take their life. If you turn over the page, we have the Rambam, the final citation here. The Rambam says, at the beginning of Hilchus Chovel, actually the eighth parak of Hilchus Chovel and Mazik. So the Rambam says, Osu la'odam lachvol bein ba'atzmo bein b'chavero. A person is not allowed to wound another person, even himself. You're not allowed to cause a wound even in yourself. This is contrary to the popular belief, right? That today people are of the view that who owns my body? Right? Each person has to ask himself, my body. Do I own it? Well, if I own it, then I could do what I want with it. Okay, may not be allowed to kill myself, okay? But short of that, right, I remember back in the day, so if you're old enough to remember this, in the 1970s, there was this stunt man who used to go on the motorcycle, Evel Knievel. You heard of him? Okay, so he once announced an incredible stunt that he was going to jump in his motorcycle from the top of one mountain to the top of another mountain out in Utah, wherever, well, I don't remember exactly.
Snake River.
No, Snake River Canyon, not Grand Canyon. Snake River Canyon. say this is going to be done on ABC Wide World of Sports back in the day, if you're old enough to know what I'm talking about. So not that I know this firsthand, but this is what I heard. So anyway, he attempted this jump. And you know, he was very big on bravado and had no lack of gaiva. So he attempted this jump, and unfortunately, he did not make it. He didn't make it, but he didn't die miraculously. Hashem had incredible rachmanis on him. But they say that he broke virtually every bone in his body. Right. So years later, I heard an interview once on the radio that they asked him, you know, do you regret doing it? He said, hey, you know, I am Evel Knievel. I do what I want, right? Okay, interesting, Shita, you know, but that was what he held. Okay, now is that right or wrong? So the answer is absolutely wrong. Why? Because you're not allowed to wound the person, even yourself. Why is that? Because a human body is on loan to a person from God. Hashem gives us our body as a loan. You have to take care of it. You have to take care of it. It's not yours. It's a lease. It's not an ownership. Right, and at the end of the day, it gets given back. Right, so the fact is that being the case, a person does not have the right to go ahead and create a wound. This is halacha. Therefore, a person can, this is a very important halacha, right? Because the Rambam continues and says, we discussed this once. He says that this is true. Ela kol amaka adam kashim Yisrael ben gadol ben katan ben ish ben isha derech nitzayon hareza over losa say. If it's done in a frivolous manner, then a person violates the lo saseh. What's the lo saseh? Where does it say in the Torah you can't do that? So the Rambam proceeds to say that this is derived from the pasuk by Malchus, where we find that a person is given 39 lashes violating certain isurim in the Torah. So it says that you're not allowed to add an additional one. Right, it says in the pasuk that lo yosef la kosel, you're not allowed to give even one extra. A person, if the person administering the lashes gives 40 instead of 39, so he has violated issa d'oraisa of lo yosef la kosel. So the Chazal say, look at that. Even by a person who deserved lashes, he can't do it. So all the more so by a person who is totally innocent, you're not allowed to create a wound. This is the Torah violation. You're not allowed to wound a person. Therefore, you can't get into a fist fight with somebody, right? You know, because of the fact that you, if you punch someone, create a wound, that's an issa d'oraisa. That is an issa d'oraisa. Even if the person, you know, whatever, you know, says I don't mind. This is a big question. We once spoke about this with the mixed martial arts several years ago, whether you're allowed to engage in that and so forth. But it also comes up. It also comes up when it comes to cosmetic surgeries. Right, this we spoke about this once also. Right, a person, am I allowed to go for a nose job? Right, because I'm creating a wound in my body. So who says I'm allowed to do that? So you'll say, well, I need to. All right, but if it's an isser in the Torah, the only heter for isurim in the Torah is v'chaybahem. The only thing that goes around the prohibition of the Torah is to save a life, pikuach nefesh. To get a nose job is not pikuach nefesh. To go for cosmetic surgery is not pikuach nefesh. So what's the heter for that? So this is, what's that?
Piercings.
One more time.
Piercings,
a question that some say it's true even about giving blood. About giving blood, that there's chovah ba'atzmo. Right? It's not so simple. So the heter for that, just don't get nervous, the heter for that is because presumably if you do that, so it'll save Jewish lives. I'll say that's not true, but the attitude is that, you know, if you're in a place and it's known that Jews give blood, so there'll be more blood available and hopefully it'll save a Jewish life. You know, if you would be in Tibet and they had a blood drive going on, I don't know, you might want to call a Rav before you jump into that. It might not be as simple as we think. But beyond that, for a person to wound himself is prohibited. So says the Maharit that this is the isser of abortion. Why? It's not murder, but rather it's chavola. What's the chavola? Because since we find in the Gemara the expression many places, uber yerachimo, that a fetus is considered a limb of the parent, of the mother. So therefore, it's like you're cutting out a limb. You're cutting it. You can't just cut out a person's limb. Right? If a person says that a certain part of my body I don't want. Right? I don't want. Right? So I'm going to cut it out. You can't do that. You can't do that without a justification. There has to be some justification. So therefore, that says the Marit is the prohibition of abortion. And therefore, that's what Rashi meant. In other words, it's not Ritzicha because it's not a Nefesh. But nevertheless, it would be prohibited for that reason. So says the Marit. He says it's even not according to Rashi. He says it's a controversial tshuva. Moshe Feinstein, very strongly in his tshuva on this topic, which I'm going to get to, says that he believes that that it's not reliable, that tshuva. He thinks that it was forged, or that somebody, the person who wrote it, was a student of the Marit who didn't understand what he was saying. But nevertheless, it's on the books, and it's quoted by other people that this is what the Marit said. Okay. Now, that being the case, so you'll say, well, so then to do stam an abortion is an issa d'oraisa, right? So for a woman to say, I don't want to have a child because I can't afford it, or I don't want to have a child because I don't want to be tied down, so that's usur. It may not be ritzicha, but it doesn't matter. You're not allowed to do the other isurim either. So therefore, so it's chavola. You're not allowed to do chavola. Now, do chavola. The only difference would be that chavola can be done if there is a good justification for it. So, for example, we once spoke way, way back about cosmetic surgery. So, in the tshuva of Moshe Feinstein, he said for a girl who was in Shidduchim, and she said she very much, it was very self-conscious. She felt that she wanted to redo the appearance of her nose. So he gave a heter for that. And other people give a heter for that too. But just, you know, what goes on today, just for the record, this is not the topic, but the widespread running to do cosmetic surgery is a very big shiloh for several reasons. It's a shiloh for that reason, and it's also a shiloh that to put a person to put himself under general anesthesia is pikuach nefesh. That's a pikuach nefesh. You could die. Chas shalom, a person could die. It doesn't happen commonly, but it's possible. So therefore, these are serious considerations. The whole world, everybody's running for cosmetic surgery. It's not so simple. If there's if it's medically needed, there's no question. A person has trouble breathing, so they want to, they want to go for a nose reconstruction because they can't breathe. So of course that's a good reason, right? But you have to have a good reason. So now, following this line, it would come out that if there was a reason to do an abortion, in other words, let's say, for example, you had a woman who was pregnant that the doctor said, you will not die from this pregnancy. However, it's going to impair your health. It's going to impair your health. Having it is not a good situation that you're pregnant, and it's going to have an effect on your health. But you won't die. You'll live, but it's going to impact on your health. So according to the Marit, it sounds like it should be mutter, right? Because what's the whole issue? The whole prohibition is chavola. Chavola is mutter if there's a justification. That's what would come out. Now, the big issue here is we have here a very famous Rambam, or a very famous Shvera Rambam, which is here on the sheet on side two. But the thing with this Rambam is that this Rambam is brought in the Shulchan Aruch. So therefore it became the Aloch. The Shulchan Aruch is not on the page, but it's quoted in the Shulchan Aruch and Chashim Mishpat. The following: the Rambam had a different pshat, a different interpretation of that Gemara, with the difference between a child before it comes out and after it comes out. And the Rambam says as follows, okay, it's at the end of the top line, okay, he says like this. So he says, it's really a continuation of what he said previously. Actually, let's go to the second line. Lefika horu chachamim. The chachamim ruled, sheha ubra shehi makshalelet, a pregnant woman, who is struggling in her childbirth, and her life is in jeopardy. So the chachamim said, mutu lachto ha'uber b'me'eha, Bein Bisam, Bein Biyad. You're allowed to kill the child. That's the Mishnah, right? The first part of the Mishnah. You're allowed to kill the child, whether it's through a medicine, some sort of poison that would kill the child, or through some other means, doing it with the hand, killing the child, that would be a dayan. Whatever it is, that's what the Mishnah said. The Rambam paskins this, but watch this. What's the reason? Says the Rambam, Ipnei Shehu Kirode Fachareha Lahorga. Because the fetus is considered a rodef. Not what we said. Rashi said the reason for this is because it's not a person. So if it's not a person and the mother's life is in jeopardy, so to save the mother's life, you're allowed to violate the surim in the Torah. You could eat non-kosher, you could eat on Yom Kippur, you could come on Pesach, you could do all these things, right? So therefore, you could also abort the child because it's just an isser. That's if it stays clear of the rules of Ritzicha. Because all the other Isurim in the Torah right? So we have a chai bohem. The Torah says that you're allowed to violate the law in order to save the life. So the same way a woman could be Michal Shabbos, you can be Michal Shabbos to save a pregnant woman, you could kill the child also to save the woman because it's not Ritzicha. But comes along the Rambam and throws the ultimate monkey wrench into this. The Rambam says, and it's a pella because it doesn't say this in the Gemara, right? The Rambam says that the reason why you're allowed to kill the child before it comes out is because this fetus is a rodef, which implies that the law of Ritzicha is in play. Okay? Now, continues the Rambam and says, however, if once the child has begun to emerge, then you're not allowed to do anything. Right? He says, once this child starts to come out, so then you can't do anything because you're not allowed to kill one life to save another life. That's the Teva Shalolam. So says the Rambam. Now, this Rambam is, everybody who read this Rambam was up in arms for several reasons, right? One reason is what we just said, because this is not the simple pshat in the Gemara. The Gemara does not indicate that an explanation of the first part of the Mishnah is due to the law of Rodef. It doesn't say that. It brings in Rodef only by the second part, right? But the bigger problem, the big problem on the Rambam is that it sounds like he's being inconsistent, because what are you telling me? Once the child comes out, so the child's again a rodef, right? In other words, it's a rodef in the mother's womb, it's a rodef when it's coming out as well. So when it comes out, you're not allowed to kill. Are you allowed to kill a rodef? So he says, because even the law of rodef doesn't apply, she'ein dochen nefesh mipnei nefesh, right? Where does it say that? That didn't say that in the Gemara, right? The Gemara, when it was discussing this, said that the way we understood the Gemara was that once the child comes out, so the child is considered a person, and you can't kill one person or another person. Why is the child not considered a rodef? So the Gemara asked that question. So the Gemara said that that's because since the childbirth is a natural part of life, so therefore you can't consider the child a rodef in that situation. Right? But okay, that presumably would extend even before the child is born. In other words, that should be true even before the child comes out. So therefore we said, how come it's mutter before? So we said, Rashi said, that the reason for that is because it's not a person. It's not Ritzicha. It's only Ritzicha when it comes out. Before it comes out, it's not Ritzicha, so therefore you're allowed to do it. But the Rambam clearly doesn't say that, because the Rambam is saying that even prior to that, it has the status of Ritzicha, apparently, because he says the Rodef. So I understand. So when the baby starts to come out, the law of Rodef doesn't apply. Why not? Because somehow the law of Rodef doesn't apply by natural events in the natural course of life. So a pregnancy is a natural course of life. So before the child comes out, it should be the same thing. So why then can you kill the child and later not? This is a big kasha. Everybody has a famous Shver Rambam. And even one can look in the Chidushim of Reb Chaim Brisker, Reb Chaim Soloveitchik, in his Sefer, Reb Chaim al Rambam, that he has a piece that explains, hard to understand what he's saying, but one of his great students, Reb Zalman Meltzer, in his own Sefer, Evan Ozel, gives an explanation. It's hard to see that that's what Reb Chaim was saying, but he didn't see what it says in the Sefer. He didn't even hear it from him straight. He says he heard it in the name of Reb Chaim. I guess not when he was in the Volozhin Yeshiva. He heard Reb Chaim say this, and he says he believes this is the explanation. But without getting into it, we're running out of time. So it's a fascinating explanation to explain why it's different. An ingenious pshat to explain why it's different. He wants to say there's two types of rodefs, and the beforehand the child is considered a rodef. But in other words, what he wants to say is that before the baby is born, so it has the same status as the luggage that we gave the case before that was taken on the boat. So he wants to say that even though it may be considered a person, but it's not considered a person to the extent that you could say that the mother is a rodef on the child. In other words, basically in a nutshell, I'll just take 30 seconds to tell you what he says. What he said was that by childbirth, so it's true the child is a rodef on the mother, but since the mother is giving birth to the child, and the mother potentially could make it that the child won't be born alive also, so therefore the mother is a rodef on the child. They're both rodefim. They're rodef on each other. So in a situation like that, he wants to say that things are treated differently. In other words, you have to, if two people are in a gun battle, if you were walking down the street, you see Reuven and Shimon shooting at each other, you can't say, okay, Reuven's a Rodef and shoot him dead, because what do you mean? He's also a Rodef, right? So he wants to say, however, that's why once the baby comes out, you can't do anything. But prior to the birth of the baby, he wants to say that it's not, in this regard, it's not considered a person, it's considered like a part of the mother, so therefore the mother is not considered a rodef on the child, it's only the child, that type of rodef, only the child is a rodef on the mother. Okay, I'm not doing justice to it, you can take a look if you want, very fascinating discussion. But whatever the case may be, this is where Moshe Feinstein, who wrote a very strong tshuva, I'm going to get into the end, so I'll take the question after. Moshe Feinstein wrote a very strong tshuva on this topic, the most strongly worded tshuva I ever saw. He goes through other people's opinions and just dismisses them and says, in some cases, he says, chas v'shalom, to say such a thing, you know, so about things that were said by even Gedolei Achronim. But nevertheless, the way it comes out is like this. It seems from the Rambam that the Rambam holds it's Ritzicha. So that's a very big problem, because if it's Ritzicha, so now it's not so simple. So if in other words, whatever the Pshat in the Rambam is, whatever the Pshat in the Rambam is, and a lot of people, some people have ways to explain the Rambam that it comes out. It's not true, but it's not Ritzicha really, but the conventional Pshat, Rav Chaim's Pshat, is that it is considered, the Rambam held even a fetus is considered, to kill a fetus is considered Ritzicha. It's considered Ritzicha. So he wanted to say, so now that being true, so if the child, if the fetus jeopardizes the mother's life, if the fetus jeopardizes the mother's life, and the doctor says to this woman that if you continue this pregnancy, you're going to die. Or if you have the child, you're going to die in childbirth. So then even the Rambam would admit that it's mutter. That's clear. That's what the Mishnah says in Olos. Nobody could argue with that. That's a Mishnah. Okay. However, what would be if the doctor said, you won't die, but your health is going to be compromised. You'll never be the same. You're healthy, or it's going to result in who knows what. You'll be crippled from having this child. So then there's no justification to abort it, because that's not a hetter for Ritzicha. If it was a question of Chavola, what the Maritz said, so then you could say, all right, any good reason any significant reason would be justification. But if it's murder, you don't have that. So therefore, just going to cut to the chase, we have 1 minute left. So there's a lot more to say about this, but this is the way it shakes out halacha l'maisa, right? There's one further clarification that needs to be made, which is that there is a Gemara that says, in the laws of Pidyon HaBen, we know there's a halacha that if a child, the Pidyon HaBen is made when a male is the firstborn child. Now what happens if this male follows a stillborn child or a miscarried child? So the halacha is that there is no Pidyon HaBen, because the Torah says pet derechem, it has to be the first thing that came out of the womb, and this is not considered the first thing that came out of the womb. So that's the halacha, it's the Gemara, and it's brought in Shulchan Aruch. Now, there is one exception to this, and that is if the mother miscarried within the first 40 days. If within the first 40 days of pregnancy, the mother miscarried, the Gemara says that fetus is considered maya ba'alma. That's just considered, in the Gemara's terminology, water. Not that that's true, it's probably more blood than water, whatever it is, but the fact is that that's not considered, the Gemara just means to say that that's not considered a person. So therefore, in the halacha l'maaseh, it comes out like this. There are people. Rav Moshe Feinstein, wrote the strongest tshuva on this topic. Many people addressed it, but he wrote a tshuva, and it's dated 1977. And in the introduction to the tshuva, he says that in our times we have to be vigilant about this, because since the secular world has become very lax and very lenient and pro-choice, and women make decisions to have to abort pregnancies even for frivolous reasons. So he said, so today we really have to, you know, it behooves every God-fearing person to take it seriously. And his shita is, he's the extreme shita that he holds, that it is ritzicha to perform an abortion at any point. At any point, even before 40 days. It's considered a ritzicha. And he says the only heta for such a thing would be if the mother's life is in jeopardy. That's what he said. That's the extreme position on one end. The extreme position on the other end was put forth by Rav Eliezer Yehuda of Waldenburg. We've quoted him many times. Tzitz Eliezer was one of the Gedolim in Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim, wrote many svarim many tshuvas, thousands of tshuvas that he published. And he wrote, he was the doctor, among other things, he was the rabbinic consultant for Hadassah Hospital. And he said, he was asked the case that there was a pregnancy, a woman came to him that they threw some sort of test that was performed on the fetus. They determined that this child was going to have Tay-Sachs, Rahman al-Islam, that the child was going to be born with a terrible disease. And the woman said that I'm going to go crazy. I can't. I think she already had a child like that. And she said, I can't bear to see this. It's a terrible situation. The parents are helpless. Nothing you could do. And so he was willing to consider, he didn't say it outright, but he said that it could be that it's mutter to abort the child. It could be it's a mutter to abort the child because of the fact that it's going to cause so much stress to the parents. That's what he said. This is the extreme left. Okay, now it happens to be that, I pointed to the right, but the extreme left. Now it happens to be that position has been dismissed by many poskim. Many poskim. In fact, some people, got very upset at him that he said such a thing. Ramosha Feinstein, the Tshuva, says that Hashem should be moichel him for saying such a thing. It's outrageous how a person could say it, right? But that's the other side. Within the in-between areas, there are people that say, in other words, the big question is, if it's not life-threatening, but it's life-altering, would that be justified or not? That's the big question. It's Hakol Modim, that to perform an abortion just because you're not in the mood to have a child or you can't afford it or whatever it is, that there's no heter in the world. There's no heter. When it will involve a life-altering situation, but not financial, a life-altering situation from the standpoint of health, so then it really depends on whose opinion you follow. If you follow the opinion of Marit, if you follow the opinion, that it's Chavola, or if you follow the opinion that it's Ritzicha. There are other opinions too, but those are the two main ones. So within that, there are a lot of tshuvas written. All kinds of situations come up. All kinds of situations come up where really what it comes down to is what would be considered, do you have to get involved in the laws of Ritzicha or not? If you have to get involved in the laws of Ritzicha, you're in trouble because it's not so easy to circumvent the laws of Ritzicha. Whereas when it's a different prohibition in the Torah, so then generally, if it's only Chavola, so Chavola, there's a built-in heter. Chavola for a cause could be mutter. So there are a lot of scenarios, I go into it, many, many cases have come up, and you have situations where a woman has conceived multiple fetuses. Let's say that she is 4, 5, 6, embryo, whatever. And the doctor says that if this is allowed to continue, so then it's not going to be good because one is going to jeopardize the other. And if we took away 2 or 3 of them, then the others would be much more viable. So again, this comes right into the shaila. If you're dealing only on the grounds of chavola, you have much more leeway. But if you're in the domain of